Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In the end, it all comes down to Jesus. Those are true words, but very strange when I once heard them spoken by a Jewish rabbi to me and some others. In the end, it all comes down to Jesus. You may not know this about me, but in my undergrad, I was a criminal justice major, pre-law. I was planning to go to law school before deciding to go to the seminary. But I was in school in Southern California where there are just lots and lots of general ed requirements. And I filled up most of my general ed by taking classes in the religious studies department. That kind of just showed I just had a natural interest in religious studies. And I recall there were three Jesuit priests in that department, two liberal Protestant pastors. One was LCA. This is before the ELCA existed, just to date myself. There was one Jewish rabbi, and then as an adjunct professor, one Muslim scholar who later became the imam of the mosque in Garden Grove. And they liked me. They were all proud when I went to the seminary, though angry that I came to this seminary when they found out that this was the seminary I was going to attend. But I remember talking once with one of these professors, and he complained about the religious studies classes. He said, you know, we designed these courses for secular-minded people to teach them about religion and why religion is important, and yet all we get in these classes are a bunch of Christians, right? But California just excelled with a lot of evangelical Christians back in those days. And everybody taking these courses, they said it's just 90% evangelical Christians. And he said, you just know the reason they're there is they want to get some training so they could better witness Christ to Muslims and Hindus and Jews. And the goal of this department was to get us all to respect every religion equally. And then they say, of course, why are you taking these courses? And it's kind of, well, yeah, I guess I want to get some training in how to witness Jesus responsibly to all these other people. But one of my favorite classes was the basic world religions, which was taught by the Jewish rabbi. This was the one guy who did not resent the fact that they were all Christians in his class. In fact, he once said, I love the fact that I've got a bunch of Christians listening to me, because he said, I just can't wait to argue with you. And every class would be this like friendly back and forth, why we believe this, why you believe that. And eventually we found out this guy had a very interesting history. He was born and raised a Christian. He was Roman Catholic. He even went to the seminary to become a Roman Catholic priest. But while at the seminary, he abandoned his Christian faith and converted to Judaism. This guy had studied Greek. He even came in with his Nestle Aland, I think it was edition 25 back in those days. And he would read passages from the Greek whenever a Christian would bring up some New Testament passage. But what was strange was, though he was a convert to Judaism from Christianity, his parents were converts to Christianity from Judaism. And when asked, are your parents still Christian? He said, sadly, yes, they are like rocks, immovable. And so again, this is a class where most everybody is a Christian. And I remember all the hands went up when he told this story. And then somebody asked, well, why did you leave Christianity and go back to Judaism? And his answer was, you know, there's a lot of reasons, but in the end, it all comes back to Jesus. It all comes down to Jesus. And, well, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, to be a Christian, and then he said, to be a Christ-chan, you got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and I no longer believe that Jesus is the Christ, so I'm no longer a Christian. And then the hands went up, and, okay, well, doctor, why do you not believe that Jesus is the Christ? And he said, it's really basic. All the messianic prophecies that you guys say are messianic prophecies are not messianic prophecies. The messianic prophecies that we say are messianic prophecies are messianic prophecies. And he cited actually our reading today, Jeremiah 33, and said, you know, when the Messiah is here, there's going to be a son of David sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. Levitical priests are going to be reestablished. And Jesus didn't do that. Therefore, he's not the Messiah. And again, a bunch of hands went up, and somebody said, you know, he's going to come back, and he's going to do all those things then, bring in the fulfillment. And he said, he made us a promise. He said, you know, if Jesus does come back the way you say, I will believe that he's the Messiah. And then somebody rose their hand, I think it was me, and said, you know, that may be a little too late. And he said, you know what? That actually scares me, right? There was a pause, and then suddenly a different line of questions began. Well, okay, we know why you left Judaism, but why did your parents, or why you left Christianity, but why did your parents leave Judaism to become Christians? And he knew his parents very well, and so he said, well, in the end, it all comes down to Jesus. You see, they think he is the Messiah, and that's why they're Christians. They confess Jesus to be the Christ. And then we asked, okay, why? And he said, we argue about this every time we get together, but they're convinced that that servant in Isaiah, especially Isaiah 52, 53, that could be no one but Jesus. They're convinced that this servant of Yahweh, in whom the nations will put their hope, well, duh, that has to be Jesus. I mean, they would say historically, who is the man, the one Israelite above all others, in which the Gentiles have placed their hope? And they would say historically, it's obvious, it's Jesus. They would say, who is the guy in Psalm 22 that Jesus actually quotes, who has the holes in his hands and feet? It's Jesus. And then finally, he said there was that one thing he could never argue back, the fact that they said their salvation had come to them through Jesus. They experienced salvation. They experienced justification by trusting in Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, and they knew that their God, the God of Israel, had accepted them back as his people, that he had restored them. In a sense, they could say that Judah is now at rest, at least for us, because we are Jews who now rest securely in the grace of God that we have received through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said there was no academic answer he would give back to that. And they would say, Jesus was the righteous branch of David, and therefore we could say of Jesus, the Lord is our righteousness. I got to know this man a little better one-on-one, and he really was conflicted about leaving Christianity, and he really said, I wish Jesus was the Messiah, but just for him, it came back to the fact that he was not sitting on a throne in Jerusalem right now. That for him was the reason he rejected Christianity, yet his parents trusted the same Jesus for their salvation, as do each of you. When we hear this lesson read in its entirety, we all know the first paragraph, but God does promise that even as his covenant with day and night will not be violated, he is going to ensure that there will be a day when the sons of David sit upon the throne and when there is no lack of Levitical priests to serve him before his altar. And in response to that, I was thinking hard. Maybe one of our Old Testament professors can come up and give an explanation, but I end up going back to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And so I proclaim to you what I believe and what I know and what you know, that there was a righteous branch that sprung up for David, and that righteous branch was our Lord Jesus Christ, who did come to Israel, his people, who did come to save his people from their sins, and who accomplished that in his ministry. And so in Jesus, all the people of Israel who believe in Jesus can say, the Lord is our righteousness. Kind of a nice play on words there. Zedekiah, the last son of David to sit upon the throne, his name means the Lord is my righteousness. But Jesus gives us one better. The Lord is our righteousness. And if that were not enough, this gospel that Jesus brought to his people Israel has gone forth from them through his apostles and has come to all of us Gentiles so that we could look at that same Jesus, Israel's Savior, and say, there is my Savior. There is a righteous branch for David that is also a righteous branch for us. For in him, you too have experienced justification. God has declared you righteous from your sins and rebellions. God has reconciled you to himself, and you are now his people in Jesus Christ. And so we could say of Jesus, the Lord is our righteousness. Even us Gentiles, the Lord has brought his righteousness to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so in the end, yes, it always does come down to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The Lord is our righteousness, so God declares it to you today in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.